All right, welcome in your Sunday evening, the Georgia Show. It's back, Rusty Mansell, Jake Roos here with you on your Sunday night. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Rusty, lot to get to, man. It may be January still, and we may be about as far away from the season as we could possibly be, but at the same time, man, there's plenty going on, and I think we should just come out of the gate talking about what's on the mind of everybody out there, what we know on Bobo. There was a lot of consternation. In case you've been under a rock this week, there was a lot going on regarding Georgia's offensive coordinator. There was a report out there, I believe Buck Blue discussed on 680 The Fan, that Georgia's offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo, would be stepping down for health reasons. And you pretty quickly came over to the board at Dogs HQ and said that you did not expect that. And I think you may have worded it even a little bit stronger than that. So, Rusty, let's just dive in on that, man. Tell the folks what you've heard, what you think, what's kind of the vibe on Mike Bobo, because that's sort of been the hot button issue for Georgia all week.
Yeah, I mean, all we can I have to answer for that on Friday. And obviously, Buck Blue is a Georgia Bulldog. He played for University of Georgia. He is a national champion. He is a very respected person in that building. But, you know, with that type of statement and how deep he went in on, and, you know, I just felt like I had no idea. I was driving home from Atlanta, and all of a sudden my phone, like, blew up, and I was like, what's going on? And I thought for a minute, maybe there's something to this, and started making calls, and everybody's like, what is going on? And I had multiple members of media I talked to that had called me, and I talked with those guys, and pretty quickly I realized that that was not the case. And that was further from the truth. I think what kind of concerns you is you say a health issue, you know what I mean? Like I had players, parents texting me. I had recruits texting me, like, I can't imagine. I would say the wasted energy probably on Friday that Kirby Smart spent answering that question. Look, you just can't be that wrong. You know what I mean? And certainly Buck Blue is who he is, and he's a damn good dog. And someone I know and has always been super nice to me, but he was way off on that one. And it was a quick firestorm, and people, you know, I'm still getting texts yesterday, but simply not the case. Now, you know, what's the pulse of Georgia and where are they? I mean, he's out recruiting for Georgia, and you know, if there's a change, we'll certainly report that. But as far as that particular report that he was expected to step down because of health issues, simply not the case. And Mike Bobo was out in schools, and he was in Florida. In fact, you know, I had to say it just because it was fact. I mean, he missed his son's senior football banquet, I guess Thursday or Wednesday, because he was watching a quarterback in Miami, in Florida, play basketball. So, you know, that those types of actions don't tell me that you're stepping down the next couple of days. So, but it just kind of snowballed, man. It got hot so quick. It was just crazy how that thing took off. But 1,000% that is not the case. He is not stepping down for, you know, I don't, you know, you never say never, but I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, Mike Bobo is not expected to step down, you know, with a health issue or anything like that, as far as I know.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a firestorm. Like you said, it really kind of took on a life of its own and just sort of mushroomed from there. And, you know, I mean, look, this is no knock on Buck Blue. I said this on the radio show with Jake Rowe. I'm sure he trusts his sources, and I'm sure he walked away from this trust in who he talked to on it. It is what it is, man. I mean, sometimes you're going to hit, sometimes you're not. Now, it, like you said, to me, where you run into the issue, I think, is when you start using phrases like health concerns, issue. That's a very weighty term, especially for a guy like Mike Bobo, who in the past has dealt with some things, right?
That's and why so, I was like, maybe something else. You know, Colorado State, he dealt with a couple of issues. He dealt with a health issue at Colorado State. So I was like, maybe something's up. You know what I mean? Like, maybe something there is going on.
Yeah, no, and I get it. And look, the fact of the matter is, it's going to be a hot button issue because Mike Bobo's name is attached to it. If they said Josh Crawford was stepping down for health reasons, I don't think anybody would have gotten quite as up in arms about that. Now, it would have been a different conversation in entirety. But Yeah, it was crazy. And it like you said, he was out on the road. They're out doing the recruiting. And look, this is not an end-all, be-all thing. Like, could things still change? Of course, man. This is college football we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But in that moment, that was not accurate as far as we could ever get that. So,
well, that's what – and the people that were texting me, like, players' parents were like, hey, man, is he okay? You know, and, you know, I had recruits texting me, hey, is Mike Bubba okay? That was the concern. Is this guy okay? I mean, nobody was texting me going, hey, who's going to be the next offensive coordinator? People were texting me going, hey, is Mike Bubba okay? What's going on? What do you know? And so that's how things, you know, just got crazy, you know, have that quick. When you start throwing around a person's having health issues, he's going to step down, you better be damn right. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that given his platform, Buck Ballew will probably address that pretty quickly this week. And I saw him kind of, I would say, walk it back a little bit in a tweet, but he'll certainly have to address that, and we'll see what he says.
Yeah, absolutely. But like we said, guys, come over to Dogs HQ. We had you updated along the way all day on Friday. I think Rusty posted about 75 times.
My God.
You had to – I think at some point you posted in Mandarin Chinese that the guy was coming back. Any way it could be addressed, you had to cover it, man.
Whew, man, it was nuts.
It really was. It really was. Guys, before we get into this junior day, we got to talk a little bit of Prize Picks here. Look, you're out here. It's the divisional round of the playoffs. Look, you've got time to kind of get some in here if you're trying to work one in. We got one rolling tonight. We got James Cook, all right, over 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdowns. I like that pick. That's a nice
one. I would, too.
Lamar and Allen over 106.5 combined. Both of those guys got some legs under them, so I could definitely see that one. And then we got Derrick Henry over 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdowns. Hey, it makes sense to me, man. You can't keep King Henry down too long. That guy is an absolute freak. But get over to Prize Picks. It's a daily skills-based fantasy, and you got a chance to make some money every night. College football, NFL football, hoops, baseball, everything under the sun, you can get in there and use your skills to go in, make your picks, and see if you can test the skill, maybe come out with a little bit of coin at the end. Use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, and get 50% on your first deposit of $5 or more, okay? Go have some fun. Go out there. We got this one, $20 in to win 40. I like that pick, man. I think that's a good gimme there for you. So if you're looking for a way to get in with Prize Picks, go check it out. Use our promo code, though, DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, for that daily skills-based fantasy. Rusty, a big junior day this weekend. Mm-hmm. The DAWGS brought in with coordinators and all aside, news of coordinators and all aside, Georgia hosted an absolute gang of talent, man. Just some of the nation's best in 2026 and beyond, even. Tyler Atkinson was in town. Dre Quinn was another guy. Javian Osborne was another guy that we saw. The running back out of Texas that came for this one. A couple of corners in this one as well. I mean, it was kind of a who's who, Rusty, especially for, you know, when it is in this time of the year. Coming off of this one, like we said, there's a long way to go in this one. 2026 is just arriving, and we're just turning the page over here. Quite frankly, we saw the pictures come out. I said, if that's the last picture of Tyler Atkinson and Kirby Smart you ever see together, I would be very shocked. I think you'll probably get a dozen or better the rest of the way. And there's been probably 30 or more at this point anyway. The guy has been to Georgia so many times. What stands out to you, though, about this group, Rusty? What are you hearing coming off of this one? Huge recruiting weekend. And one of those that kind of sets the stage moving forward for guys setting official visits and that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, the 2026 class, this kind of kicks it off, this right here, because you go like 2 weeks from now, it'll be dead. So February will be a dead month. None of those guys will be taking visits. You'll get to spring practice. You know, really and truthfully now, June, the OVs, we've learned that, Jake, over the last couple of years, the June OVs are really where it gets down to business. And literally it gets down to business. Yeah. Those Sunday meetings used to be the – you know, the in-home breakfast. When you go on official visit back 10 years ago, you and your parents would have breakfast with the head coach at his house and those types of things. That's about over now. Now you sit in there with your agent, and you sit in there with Kirby Smart, and you sit in with somebody else, and you start talking about what's the number here, and that is point blank how it happens. And, you know, so June becomes, but this is really kicks it off. And, you know, some of these kids will make an early decision without worrying about all that. You know, Georgia will get some of those as well too. But I tend to look at the 2027 guy that we kind of looked at there. And it's a young man that I got a chance to see this year. And I'll be honest with you, I knew a little bit about him, but he played so good against the state champions, Milton. Kareem Hughley, the kid out of Gainesville, the 2027 quarterback, Georgia offered him. And I'm telling you, man, I watched him, and, you know, people that follow my work, I don't try to compare players to somebody because it sets up those expectations. But, man, just early on watching him, it's hard not to look at a player like that. Actually a little bigger than I thought. He was 5'11 and a half, 190 this weekend. I was worried the guy was going to be 170, 175. If he's 190 after the season, that is really good. Georgia offered him on Saturday, but man, he's got a lot of Bryce Young to him, to me. I mean, this is a kid that's a dual threat. He can run, but gosh, man, he is so accurate. I watched him play against a team that they were just kind of outmatched against Milton, who nobody really gave Milton much of a game pretty much the last 2 years almost. And he played fantastic that game. He kept making play after play. And I knew after that night, I was like, this kid is a lot better than I thought. He can hurt you with his legs, but I thought the accuracy of him was really, really good. And Georgia offered him on Saturday, and he weighed in pretty good. I'm going through my phone right here, just looking at my notes on that list. I think Carson Baker is the other kid I really like, the 26 running back out of Langston Hughes.
Yes.
And you talk about the state championship game, and him, I didn't know he had that gear in him. You're talking about this guy was 197 pounds on Saturday. This might be the next, like, really highly recruited running back out of the state of Georgia. I mean, he is going to be, period. You know, it's already starting for him. So he was in town.
Nationally, this is a tremendous group. And you're talking about Georgia involved with several of them. Savion Hyder off the jump, right? They're deep in that one. You've got obviously Carson Baker, Jay Lamar. Go turn the tape on Jay Lamar, man. That guy's tape absolutely screams player to me. Javian Osborne, like I said, in town this week, all the way from the Lone Star State. They made a point to go out and see him as well. They've connected with him early on. This is a great, great group of running backs. And after one guy last year, Rusty, I mean, it wouldn't shock me another two, maybe even a third guy if they can pull that off again. I think that would be a wise decision given the depth in this class.
Yeah, I think Georgia's going to take two minimum, period. Yeah, I think Georgia's going to take a portal player in May at running back, losing Trevor Etienne so late. I don't know if we've talked about that. And, you know, with that Trevor Etienne decision, he was coming back from most everything that we heard. Now, it wasn't 100%, but very much leaning. He'd already enrolled in classes. He'd been going to classes. And then all of a sudden, those two young men from Penn State decide to come back. And when they decide to come back, that changed things for Trevor Etienne because, you know, no question he was behind Singleton, I think, on draft boards, maybe Catron Allen. Yeah. Both of those kids coming back to Penn State for a senior year bumped him up and probably to a point where he goes, you know what, how much more can I gain coming back? You know how you got so many carries on your legs in this at that position. So that one really turned pretty quickly, and I think, you know, that's just the way of the world. That those two decisions by those two young men changed things up. So I think Georgia's going to take a running back. They got Nate Frazier. They got some other guys. They got Roger Robinson. You know, they got the Robinson guys there.
Flirted with several in this window.
They did flirt. Yeah. And truthfully, you wonder, you know, what would have happened with Justice Haynes had Trevor Etienne been declared? You know what I mean? Like, would that been a fit? Because really and truthfully, I don't think that was so much of a fit at the time when you start looking at Trevor Etienne and Nate Frazier, and you're trying to go to a place you want to get more carries. Just wondered, that's ifs and buts. Now that's not going to happen. So you just look at this thing and try to figure out what's going to happen. I do think Georgia's going to take a running back, though, in the spring portal window. And listen, those are you can still find a really good player there and somebody that can help you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Another couple of names here that I wanted to touch on, Rusty. One guy in particular that I think people need to get familiar with. I myself just kind of starting to bone up on this guy, Ernest Rankins.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
A bit of a rare frame on that young man. Six foot six, 285. Everything you're looking for in a defensive lineman. Georgia had him in this weekend. Sounds like things went well there, and I definitely a guy they need to pull in for this class. Certainly,
I'll give you a name.
Your thoughts on Rankins, man.
I'll give you a name there. You know, who's one of his assistant coaches, Quincy Carter. You know who loves the Georgia Bulldogs? You know who loves the Georgia Bulldogs, Quincy Carter. And Quincy Carter's back at his high school, Southwest DeKalb, coaching there and helping out with that program. And he told me about this young man last year, but you start talking about these guys that pop up and how the hell somebody 6'6", 280 pounds with an 82-inch wingspan, a defensive lineman. I tell you how it happens. There was so much focus on the 2025 guys. This guy just, you know, he kind of flies under the radar until now everybody gets a chance to get a look at him. But I will say this, man. When you go look at his ranking on the four major services, one service don't even have him ranked. The other two services have him kind of, you know, midway. Charles Power, our guy at On3, has him, I think, already the number four player in the state of Georgia already. I mean, this is a top five player in Georgia. I 1,000% agree with him right there. I mean, it's just hard to find a defensive lineman like that with that wingspan and you know, ton of ceiling left. Georgia got him on campus this weekend already. They've been by to see him. Kirby Smart was at his school, I think, Thursday. And I just think once you look at these guys that – you know, that you can't miss on those. And Georgia's off to a great start with what I think is going to wind up being one of those elite defensive linemen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the big name, if you saw on Twitter, if you're watching, we got a Fong bomb today.
How about that?
Steve Wilfong dropped one for Georgia with Ryan Mosley out of Carrollton. This is a guy, Rusty, that I've had a chance to speak to several times. I'll tell you this, incredibly smart and thoughtful young man, really knows the game when it comes to speaking to media, how to approach it, what to say, how to phrase things. He came out of this thing telling our guy Jeremy Johnson, you know, Georgia pushed some folks out of the way. The dogs like the versatility here too, Rusty. This is a guy who brings a lot to the table at two positions, a wide receiver, DB. What's kind of your lean with Mosley right now and how Georgia views him, especially now that Steve Wilfong has the pick in for the dog?
I think Georgia's recruited him at wide receiver, and I think he is a, you know, I must say that's over, but I think Georgia got a real good lead there. And sometimes you get these guys. You look at Zayden Walker, who was the number one linebacker in America. Georgia got him committed. I don't know that he ever took another visit. I don't know if there was any drama around him. That kid grew up. The only thing he ever wanted to do was play between the hedges. And I'm not saying that Ryan Mosley, that's the only thing, but I do think, you know, Georgia and being a fan of Georgia and those types of things still means a lot to a lot of kids. And this young man, Georgia's in on him. They love him, everything. I'm very close with that Carrollton staff. They rave about this kid. And, you know, get a chance to watch him play both ways this year. And I think Ryan Mosley, I think he's one of those rare guys. It's like K.J. Bolden. If K.J. Bolden had told Kirby, look, only way I'm coming is playing wide receiver, then Kirby's like, let's roll. What else you want to know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know, luckily for Kirby Smart, he wanted to play defense. I think Ryan Mosley wants to play offense, and Georgia has zero problem. Now, if he said, hey, coach, I want to play safety, then he can play safety. This is a kid that's just one of those really, really good high school football players. And, you know, he's one of those guys that I think that, you know, you just in-state kid and you win some of those because of those kids just love Georgia. You're going to get some of those like you are at some schools. It's just you kind of look at some of those guys over the years, Jake, and you go, I know that guy's going to Alabama. You can recruit him as much as you want. He's going to Alabama. I think that was one of those things with Elijah Griffin. I think everybody tried to recruit him really hard. But I think everybody thought at the end of the day, man, it's going to be hard for that guy not to end up at Georgia.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Mosley, like you said, one of those guys. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch with him moving forward because he is such a versatile athlete. And hey, look, Joey King and those guys at Carrollton, they know a thing or two about getting guys ready for the next level. I think they got a little bit of an eye for talent over there. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. Guys, before we talk a little bit of hoops, you know we got to get into some Georgia basketball because we got Rusty Mansell, number one fan of Georgia hoops now, has really come in and changed the game here.
After this week.
You picked a good week to pick it up, Rusty.
Wow.
But before we get into that, we got to talk about our friends at My Perfect Franchise, Andy Ludeke and the boys over there. Look, are you a displaced corporate executive or wanting to get your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur who wants to diversify? Well, Andy Ludeke and My Perfect Franchise can help you. Andy is a huge college sports fan. He's a franchise veteran. He's owned multiple franchises and businesses. And look, he takes all that expertise, he puts it together, and he helps other people find their American dream with a thorough consultation and evaluation process. So call Andy today. Put your life and your career in your own hands. Best of all, his services, 100% free to you. What do you have to lose? Nothing other than finding your perfect franchise. Find it at My Perfect Franchise.
I may have to call Andy. I may have to call Andy after me covering two basketball games and Georgia went 0-2. I think I might get fired off the beat, man.
MVP camp, Chad and Rusty going to be hosting Hoopers next year.
Hey, I mean, I grew up, I love some basketball. Like I'm, you know, my age, it was college basketball and Fab Five and, you know, watching Georgia and watching, you know, the Duke Carolina games and all those things. But I love some basketball. It's just, listen, to be honest with you, it's just been hard to freaking cover basketball, you know, and they got a team. And yesterday that game, man, I mean, that's all you can hope for. I guess number one team in the country, and you get the highest rated recruit you've had in the last, other than Anthony Edwards in the last 20 years, gets a shot from 3 foot away and he can't put it in. But you just feel like they still got a lot left, and there's some excitement around Mike White and his basketball team. And, you know, if they can, God, this league is so ridiculous, man. I mean, if they can just get out of this league and get into the, if they can get into the tournament, get out of this league and play with some other teams, I think that the SEC is going to really flex, man. But I will say this: I got a chance to go to Knoxville, watch Georgia play. I could not have been more impressed with that environment, that atmosphere. I got to give them credit, man. I mean, that Tennessee team is really, really good. That environment is tough to win on the road. Georgia almost beat the number one team in the country yesterday at home, and you know, I'm just excited for the rest of you. I'm excited for Mike White and these guys. Excited to see where they go. And listen, I may sneak back over. If I sneak in and cover a game and Stegman and lose, I'll put myself on probation. But yeah, I'm not right. I wasn't at the game yesterday. I was only in Knoxville. But if they do lose while I'm there in Stegman, then I'll put myself on self-imposed penalty.
We'll put a call into Mike Mobley. He'll quit issuing credentials, man. No, look, I think, Rusty, if you had to look at this schedule, probably everybody would have picked Georgia to lose Tennessee and Auburn coming into this year. Now, the thing about the Auburn game that got me is you shoot a little bit better at the line. We're having a little different conversation here, man. I mean, not even 50% yesterday against the Tigers. That doomed the Dogs in a big way. They struggled with some offensive sets as well, but this is one of those situations where, look, that was a tight game against the number one team in the country. That's going to look pretty good when your resume comes out. You got to win over Oklahoma as well. That's going to go in there. Kentucky also on your resume. I mean, they've got some key wins under their belt. It's a tough, tough stretch, man. It's absolutely, like you said, this league has gotten to be blood sport, man. I mean, there some of these teams. I'm not gonna call names here, but some of these teams that were a little down on football seem to have reinvested in basketball, and that's paying big dividends for them.
Yes,
and
sir.
Some of
yes,
them are sir. Balanced with both. So
yes, sir.
No, it's been an interesting stretch for Georgia hoops. I don't think that really you can look at these last two games and say Georgia is a lot worse team than anybody thought that they were. I don't think that that's the takeaway from this. I think the fact they were able to hang in with the Tigers, a good sign. Look, Tennessee kind of waxed them, no doubt about that. But this is a team that there's a lot in front of them. And I think that, you know, they've got a really interesting rest of the year. I'm not much of a hoops guy typically, but this team has me intrigued. Once every 20 years, I will watch Georgia basketball because they start making a little bit of noise. So
they suck me in. They're like the Falcons, man. They suck me in. And then I get my heart broke. So I know you beat Oklahoma, you beat Kentucky in the same week. I'm like, all right, I'm driving 3 hours to cover you. And sure. For one half, I was like, yep, made the right decision. But
absolutely.
I'm excited for him. I'm excited. You know, listen, we're not going to get this deep into it, but you look at baseball and what they've got going on. They expect this baseball team to be really, really good. And I think everyone that lives and breathes Georgia football and Georgia sports would love to have a great men's basketball team and a great baseball team and get things going. And, you know, a young lady that I've known since she was 5 years old is a senior in the softball program this year, Lindy Ray Davis. And, you know, I'm excited about the softball team and see what they can do to finish out her career. But I want to give a quick shout out before we get out of here, man. How about Nolan Smith and freaking Jalen Carter today?
Yeah.
I mean, those two dudes. I mean, Jalen Carter, I mean, I don't know how anybody in the Falcons pulls into the damn office tomorrow or Tuesday and goes, what do we do? What were we even thinking? You know what I mean? And
he had visions of Jaden Daniels there again when
he did pick him up. He did. You know he knew that.
He took it a little easy on the old head, though. He gave me, man, fellow dog. Matt Stafford in his advanced age, so he wanted to take it a little bit easier for sure. But
you know what I thought about when that happened? When Georgia beat TCU, we were coming down the elevator to go to the media area for that. And as I was going out, several of us got off the elevator. We took a right. I see Kirby Smart and Matt Stafford and his family, because that was in L.A.,
Yep.
And I remember seeing all those Georgia players who are now Philadelphia Eagles. Yep. All those guys were standing around. You know, they're like, hey, this is Matt Stafford. And this is a quarterback for the Rams. And no. And today they're sacking his ass. You know what I mean?
Like, today, Matthew Stafford was like, that's Jalen Carter. That's
yes, no question. I bet you, I haven't seen social media, but I bet you Matt Stafford was not in any Georgia pictures after the game. You know,
that's for the
offseason stuff. But
real quick, Rusty, before we get it out of here, national championship tomorrow night in ATL, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Who you got in this one and why, man?
I had said all year that I think Ohio State had the best roster. Now, do I think they were going to win it? I didn't know. My question on Ohio State was Will Howard, and could he actually be that guy? I don't know what the hell they were doing all year, what they were trying to do, what they didn't do, but I believe they fixed it, obviously. That is the best team on paper. They have the most experience. I would have a hard time believing Ohio State loses. And I think that Notre Dame is so well coached. And this is Notre Dame does not make mistakes, period. They want to run the football and they want to freaking punt. They want you to make the mistake. And you look at the game against Georgia, you have a fumble in the red zone, then you have a strip sack, then you have a special teams touchdown. That's exactly the way they beat Georgia. Three plays like that change a game. That's what they want to do to you. I don't know that you're going to do that with Ohio State. They're so explosive. They've got all those fourth and fifth year players. I mean, I looked at the thing today, and Ohio State people don't care. Ohio State is losing a ton. They don't care. They want to win the national championship.
Oh yeah.
And they'll worry about replacing those guys later on. You know what I mean? But they did a great job of getting their juniors to come back. People start talking about transfers and all that. They don't have a ton of transfers. Did they get Caleb Downs? Yes. But they got Jack Sawyer to come back. They got Emeka Buka to come back. They got Travion Henderson to come back. They got all those dudes to come back who were all projected high draft picks. And whatever they paid those guys to get back, if they win tomorrow night, it's going to be damn worth it. So, you know, I think they clearly got the best roster in football this year. I don't know how good Will Howard is. I think Notre Dame is absolutely just so well coached, man. And but I think tomorrow night they're gonna get what I call out athleted, and they better have their eyes on number four like Texas did. And I'm not sure that Notre Dame has the back end like Texas did, who was able to play that type of defense and double team him, because Ohio State got run. Now, if it's a fourth quarter game, I trust Notre Dame. I trust him more than I do Ryan Day. I'll tell you that right straight up right now. I trust him more than I do Ryan Day if it gets into a very tight fourth quarter game. But at the end of the day, I think Ohio State is too much. I think they're rolling, and I think this is their year.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. There's just too many ways for Ohio State to tackle it. They're a multi. Choose which head you want to cut off, man. They got another one right behind it. I mean, that's the problem when it comes to the Buckeyes. So I agree with you. I think from top to bottom, I think the athletes go with the Buckeyes. Personally, I think the spread's even fair. I think they'll cover at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Guys, look. Hey. Who knows what we'll be talking about next week? More visits, I believe we got another round of visits. They're going to try to swing in over the course of the week. They're going to be on the road as much as they can with the dead period coming in February. So stay tuned to Dogs HQ. Look, if it's happening in red and black, we got it covered over there. We will see you over there. Make sure to stop by Prize Picks. Go by myperfectfranchise.net. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll catch you later this week. I believe we might even have a little bit of Dogs HQ Plus coming.
Yeah, we got some. We got a couple coming. Yeah, right, we owe you guys one. We owe you one. A couple.
All right. We'll get in, guys. Lock in with the premium side of the YouTube. You can check that out. But for Rusty Mansell, I'm Jake Roos. We're out.